yeah, it's a Rush Thursday. Let's rack, baby. I will choose Free Will.
As opposed to Free Willy. I'd choose Free Willy.
I liked Free Willy. What a great movie. Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. If you want to jump in with a comment, a question, a recipe, 312-981-7200, call us there. Text us there.
You intrigue me with the recipe. Don't dangle that in front of me.
I think because of the holidays, if somebody wants to call and share a recipe with us, I'm not going to turn them away.
I have everything. Chef Hans Aschbacher was on the air with us last year.
Chef and James Bond villain.
He gave us a nice dry brine recipe because if you were going to brine your turkey, you got to soak it. And I'm not going to go to Home Depot and buy a big ass bucket and soak my turkey because what if the dog eats it? Mm-hmm. So there's a dry brine. Jasmine, we should maybe put that on our Facebook page. I will send it to you if you'd like to dry brine your turkey.
Isn't that a rub?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Wow. I've heard of conversation starters, but I've never heard of conversation ender. If Steve ever asks the question, is that a rub, just stop talking. Just stop whatever you're doing.
I mean, why do you call it a dry brine?
Because you don't soak it in water.
I know, it's a rub.
Yeah, I guess, but you put olive oil, you massage that into your bird, and then you add it's Lowry's seasoned salt, garlic powder, salt and pepper, kosher salt and pepper, and you just pat it in there and let it sit overnight. Put it in the cavity as well, and yes, I guess it's a rub.
You won, Steve. I hope you're happy.
I was just asking.
Figured it out. Yeah, you figured it out. This is why I don't like Thanksgiving, by the way. It's because there's no other day of the year that people start talking about the food they're going to have a week in advance.
It's a week away.
We're a week away, and people are already, you got to do this, and you have to do this.
It's fun for some people.
Is it really fun, though?
I swear to God, yes, I enjoy it.
I'm amazed.
I really enjoy it.
Come on, Bill, just because you're not into it.
Do you enjoy it, Steve?
Absolutely.
What did you have a week ago? What did you have for dinner a week ago?
I have no idea.
That's what I mean.
But this is a special occasion.
I don't get it. It's so lost on me.
But you don't like to cook.
No.
If you like to cook, this would be like a really, you want to make sure you get the herbs so you can plate it nicely. I mean, I kind of pretend I'm a chef.
Yeah. It's like one of 2 days a year where I have gravy.
Yeah, I'm with you. We weren't a gravy family.
We used to be, but no.
And now my mother-in-law from Corinth, Mississippi, makes the southern gravy, Wendy, and it's really good.
What should I know about southern gravy as opposed to regular? How is it different?
I just feel the folks in the South knew how to make gravy with all the trimmings and the drippings, I guess.
Yeah.
Drippings, as they say.
No time for the letter G in the Mm-mm. South. No time.
It's just, we were never a gravy family. I don't know why.
We'd have gravy with the roast beef and things, and then you'd like pour it over Wonder Bread, bread and gravy.
And that was good?
I would have liked that.
Absolutely. Sopping it up. Mm.
We, for some reason, my family boycotted gravy. I don't know if it's because we were Italian and our gravy was spaghetti sauce. I don't
picture
know.
Your dad. We are not a gravy family. The Andersons down the street, look at them. Those are gravy people, not us. We're better than that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
And don't put a judgment on the gravy.
It was a good way to stretch, the meal if you had a lot of kids.
Yeah. I just love that people now, like this time of year, for a week or 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, they start having this conversation about the meal, quote unquote, the meal. And every side dish, every little thing is talked about in great detail. But
and it bugs you for some reason.
Because nobody really cares.
Everyone
pretends to care, but no one really.
Steve.
Do you care what Steve is having as a side dish on Thanksgiving? Be honest.
I swear to God, yes. Because
Oh, my God.
We started about 2 weeks ago where we will start preparing potential sides for our Thanksgiving, and then we rule out the ones so we have just the perfect one for that wonderful Thursday gathering.
I don't care that you're not into it. I really don't. But I don't know why you care so much that we're into it.
There's no.
It's kind of grinchy, Bill.
He's saying, he's going to say again, no one cares. A lot of people talk, oh, what sides are you serving? Oh, I think I'm going to try
a
new Brussels sprout thing.
Like for just a random day on July 11th, 2 weeks before July 11th, I'm going to go,
Wendy,
are you guys going to have corn on July 11th?
I feel a little like one of the Who's down in Whoville.
I feel like someone's having their period and I don't get them anymore.
All right, I'm suing you for that too.
I'm so
Jasmine,
uncomfortable.
Take out the list of reasons I'm suing Wendy.
How
and
many
add,
are on that list this. Now?
It's a 6-page list. Oh, it's a long crap. List. Add today's date to that list of why I'm suing Wendy. You're going to hear from my attorneys and they're going to be dressed like pilgrims.
I love the boots. I'm actually wearing boots that look pilgrimy. Look at this. Do they not look pilgrimy?
Yeah.
With the big buckle? Yeah. I would like to take a random 10 phone call thing and see if, out of those 10 people, who cares about Thanksgiving menu?
To this, to the nth degree, to the smallest
you
degree.
You have to plan it.
I guess.
You're adorable, but at Thanksgiving.
It drives me crazy that people pretend to care. And I know you say you really do care, but when it comes down to it, you really don't care what Steve is having for Thanksgiving.
I swear to God, I do. Are you trying any new sides? Because I do the same things every year, and every once in a while I want to do something different.
Yeah,
and it offends me that you think I'm lying, because I am not a liar.
I don't think it's you who's lying. I think anyone who says they really care what anyone else is having as a side dish on Thanksgiving is lying.
Let's write a high school essay here, Bill, because you really do sound a little bit like the Grinch up the hill, where everyone else is having a good time, and you're up there sort of not only not having a good time, you're kind of ticked that everyone else
no,
is.
Yes, you are.
Since I was a kid, I've learned to accept that everybody plays this game.
But you're
making me laugh and cry at the same time.
You know, some people don't care what new action figures are released, but I don't criticize you by going, how could you care about that?
But that's not all I talk about for 2 weeks before a day. I don't go around everywhere talking about nothing but this. Honestly, if you don't care about it, this is the worst time of the year, because everywhere you go, people are going, are you going to have corn on the cob?
No, maybe. Corn on the cob is not
it's very
seasonal.
Very much a summer's
I just
vegetable.
Picked a random
yeah.
food.
Well, it shows
canned
you.
Corn, yes. I have to have that for my father-in-law. Everybody picks their own side dish that I have to have.
Fresh cranberries, Wendy, because that's the way to go.
I do the gelatinous can-shaped one and the other one.
Jasmine, could you bring in a block of cement? Because I just want to hit my head against it for the next
but,
2 hours.
But see, all right, here's the weird thing. It's like you get so mad. If you don't care, we would have like stopped talking about it already. But you put up a fight, so and you're like, I can't believe you care about it. I do.
Yeah, all right.
I gotta go home. I gotta plan my menu. I have to go shopping and get my stuffing and both cranberries and the green bean casserole.
When you come down to join us, Bill, just don't make Terry pull the sleigh.
No, I'll get a small dog to pull. I've seen it. I know you get a small dog to pull the sleigh. So I'm the Thanksgiving Grinch. Is that official?
No, I wouldn't make it official. But I mean, there's some parallels there.
See, believe me, you know how much I love food, right? We eat out all the time. I love food, but I like different kinds of food. I don't like the fact that everybody feels like, oh, if we don't have turkey, the world will end.
See, here's the thing.
Pilgrims didn't have turkey on Thanksgiving.
No, but it started a tradition that I grew up with, that my kids grew up with, and I'm telling you right now, if we chose not to have turkey on Thanksgiving, my whole family would be disappointed.
I know that. I know.
Even though they don't care.
But do you
they do care.
But aren't there foods you like more?
Yeah, and I have those every other day of the year.
But on this one, you feel the need to have Thanksgiving turkey. Because even though it's been proved by beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's not what they ate.
They had fish, didn't they? Like salted bad fish.
Who gives a
and
care?
Turnips.
We have turkey.
I know. All right.
Mashed potatoes. Put a little cream cheese in there. Make some thicker, Bill.
All right.
Look at him. I can't even work with you today.
Really, how many times can you guilt-free eat a green bean casserole? Oh, that's another one.
I don't really like it, but I have to have a little spoonful of it.
I love it.
Nothing says tradition in Thanksgiving like green bean casserole with the turkey onions.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll
people
come
might
back.
Want to defend you or call you a jerk.
Feel
I'm not
free.
Sure.
Please feel free either way. I'm fine either way.
But here's the thing. You're just a steak lover because we have something to give away sometime this week.
All right. Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is putting together a holiday gift pack valued at over $300. It features filet mignons, top sirloins, boneless pork chops, and more. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the code Bill. My name, not Thanksgiving Grinch, but Bill, my given name.
How do you spell curmudgeon?
In the search bar, and order your own Omaha Steaks holiday gift pack. Now, we could give this away today, but we won't. We'll give it away tomorrow. I'm not supposed to divulge which day, but it's Friday. So listen in today, certainly. But tomorrow's your day to win the gift pack. We'll explain more tomorrow. We'll take a quick break and then more. Show it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're talking Turkey Day, and some of us enjoy it, some of us don't. And the text lines are 312-981-7200. What happened to Bill as a child on Thanksgiving? There's a story there.
I used to think something must have happened because I've hated Thanksgiving since I was a little kid. And I go, what happened? Something crazy must have happened. Nothing crazy happened.
You are an outer food person, not an inner food person, right?
Meaning you don't cook.
Thanksgiving is about people coming over and cooking. And you love food, but you do it elsewhere.
Steve, when I was a kid, and I've told you this before, Wendy, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it to Steve. My mom had this thing where, you know how if you have a big family, and my mom's side of the family was pretty big. My dad's wasn't that big, but my mom had a lot of relatives. So you know how there's some relatives that just don't get invited because nobody wants them? You know what I mean?
You've got a really nice family dynamic here.
They're undesirable.
I've never said that about a family member.
But everybody has, there's four members of every, they're just totally undesirable. You don't want them around the holidays. So my mom would always invite those people over. And it was miserable, you know.
Not for them. They had something to do.
No.
Your mom was so nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like Bill. Please don't fight. Hi, my name is Dave. I'm not only planning Thanksgiving dinner, I'm planning meals with the leftovers after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, Bill, you should have taken your 2-week vacation this week.
Oh, that's actually a great idea.
When I'm on death row, Thanksgiving turkey dinner will be my last meal. That's how much I love it.
No.
We should not be killing all those turkeys.
That's
whatever.
Why I don't like Thanksgiving.
You're a liar.
I'm a proponent of the turkey.
So you take a bowl and you divide it into, like, so you have a little green bean casserole in one quarter, mashed potatoes the other, turkey, and then you leftover gravy over all of it, which stays a little gelatinized.
Yes, it gets gelatinized.
Yeah, and just microwave that up the next day, next few days. Oh, football
Could you
then.
Pass me that bucket, please?
Curmudgeon. Bill is cracking me up. I have to admit, too much hype. Just have the meal and enjoy it.
Right.
But sometimes people obsess a little too much.
A
that person
much.
Obviously not hosting.
Why do you say that? They might be.
Bill, because if they're not putting love and thought into it.
Overrated.
I love Thanksgiving food. I made a mini version for dinner last night. Bill, I would not want to go to your house for Thanksgiving. Ha ha. I'm already trying to decide on a dessert for Christmas, and that's all I have to bring. Strange, but my Thanksgiving dinner is all the sides. No turkey, no ham, just mashed and sweet taters, corn stuffing, veggies. Bill, stop by Napa and get brakes for the sleigh. Bill, you are a cute weirdo. Thanksgiving is the best and most relaxing holiday of the year. It's usually only my husband, daughter, and me, and I still fix all the traditional dishes that we all love. It's the one time of year that we love eating leftovers for a day or two and enjoy the companionship. I'm with Bill. I'm just thankful to spend time with my family. I don't need the stress of trying to please everyone, which eventually won't work. A simple meal with family and friends are all I need. You don't even want the family and friends.
No, that part I enjoy.
Just your family, though. Just the girls and your wife.
Well, this year's kind of tricky because, the last 4 years we've gone out to restaurants and had a great... Every year we go, this is nice, you know? And this year, Kylie said, because she's been away at school for the last 2 years, she goes, I really kind of miss seeing all of our cousins and stuff. And
oh, really? Your daughters have the little traditional feel?
Yeah.
Not from you.
So, no. She gets that from her mom's side. So I believe we're going to spend it with other relatives.
Okay, so I don't mean to pry here.
Yeah.
So you're saying that every year you're invited to go to a family gathering, but you go to a restaurant instead?
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I know. I got nothing to say. And how weird that your daughters want to go to the family table.
Well, no, it's not weird. She's, you know, she's been away at school and she hasn't seen any relatives. I get that. I love my family. I mean, really, it's great to see all of them. But the weird, I mean, every year the conversation is the same. Come on, just try the turkey. No, I don't like turkey. Just have a little. I'm sure you'll like it this year.
Didn't you used to pick up Chinese food on your way?
Used to and shall in the future, in the near future. I will get I have to get it the day before because you know.
So this is about that you just don't like turkey?
Can't stand it.
Yeah, but have problems. Who was your friend? Was it Leo that invited you over for dinner or something and you didn't like what he was having?
Yeah.
Well, how do people ever invite you over again? And then I invite you and he won't come and eat my food because I have a dog and there might be hair in it.
Yeah.
You are really a piece of Christmas work.
Well, thank you. You didn't say Thanksgiving work. I'll take Christmas work. That's a compliment.
Well,
thank
I know you.
You
love Christmas very much.
Yes.
And Christmas is not centered around food like Thanksgiving is. I mean,
not
we have
really.
Food.
Right.
But
right.
Thanksgiving, it's, you know,
I
presents.
Know.
It's all about the meal. And then we play animal bingo that my sister hosts. And she wraps up little prizes. And I'll tell you, the kids go, are we doing animal bingo this year?
Mm-hmm.
So it's traditions that they're going to hopefully carry on. What traditions will your daughters have?
Stopping at a Panda Express the day before Thanksgiving.
They know which ones are open.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And our next guest, Eric Griffin, comedian, actor. I have to be honest with you. I maybe wasn't aware of you until Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here.
This is outrageous.
This is awful, isn't it,
How
Eric?
Dare you not follow my earlier work?
I'm shocked you stayed. I would have walked out after hearing that.
I feel like I've been ambushed.
But
you got your journalism.
But isn't that how it works sometimes where you see someone and then you go back and go, my God, he's been doing a lot of stuff for quite a while.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. You know, you made it till you made it in this business, right?
But this was a bit career-wise, this was a milestone getting this job,
well,
right?
This was like a departure from everything that I had done before. This was wacky comedy. I mean, I was on Workaholics for 7 seasons, and that was just, you know, me being this crazy character, and then all of a sudden I had to be this dramatic actor in this show. So it was, you know, it's been great, and I think a lot of industry people like the show. I think not enough real people like the show, but it was very rewarding. I loved working with the people, and, you know, if you could find it now, check it out. I'm Dying Up Here, Showtime. You can see it on Amazon.
And just renewed for season two.
Renewed for season two. I believe we start shooting in January, so we'll see where the story goes from here.
And I have to say, it is about stand-up comedy in the early days of it in the 70s, but it's not necessarily funny.
No, it definitely is a drama. It's definitely,
totally.
Definitely a drama. But, comedy is based in, like, negativity sometimes anyway, and like horrible things that happen, and we try to make jokes about it, you know. So we're still trying to do that today. It's just like it's always going to be an attack on comedy because it's people's tastes, you know. It's like what somebody finds funny, someone else won't find funny, you know. So it's just one of those things. It's very subjective.
I just want to say I'm going to have a tough time watching season two because I just quit smoking last Sunday. Like, it hasn't even been a week.
By the way, I don't smoke.
Oh,
that
my God. All
horrible.
You do is smoke in there. I have to pause it and go on my back porch and have a cigarette.
And those cigarettes, those fake herbal cigarettes on set, they smell bad. They taste bad. My throat hurts afterwards.
Really?
Yeah, I've never smoked before. I got a lot of smokers that come up to me and go, man, you don't even smoke because you did great. You look like
You look like a real smoker.
You look like a real smoker.
What a great compliment.
I know.
Huge compliment. So you can't say to the producers, look, I know it says in the script that my character smokes a lot, but let's try not smoking.
Let me be honest about this. I made the choice.
Yeah?
I thought I was like, it's the 70s. And and by the way, smoking is such a great tool when you're acting because it gives you this activity that you're focused on, and then the words come and it just makes it seem more natural and like you're in the moment.
Right.
It's just one of those things, drinking, smoking, all that kind of stuff. So I did, and then once I did it once, it was like every director that came in, oh yeah, let's get Eric a cigarette. You should have
that's
a cigarette.
All they do in this show is smoke and drink. Is it real alcohol?
Yeah. No, come on,
darn it.
Look at this crazy person.
Wendy. She was hoping that was actual alcohol. You've burst the bubble.
She doesn't know who I am. Now she wants to be drunk and high. smoke-ridden on set.
Was your audition for this, did they come to a club and see you do stand-up?
Yeah, it was like a random Tuesday. The manager of the club comes up to me right before I'm about to go on, and he goes, "Hey, Eric, Jim Carrey's here." Mm. And my first thought was like, is he going to bump me? Like, what's he doing here? I was so mad, because it's like, this happens all the time where these guys come in. Chris Rock comes in, and he like bumps everybody for an hour, and we're just like, what? Come on, man.
Right.
You're already rich. Get out of here. So I was so mad that Jim Carrey was going to bump me. And he had this puzzled look, like, he was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, then what you telling me for? I was so mad already. So I went up, I did my set, and then what I didn't know is not just Jim Carrey was there, but the director, the producers, the writers, everybody for the show, they were scouting talent.
Yeah.
You know, and I got auditioned the next day. 3 weeks later, I was on the show.
But better you didn't know that probably, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
If they would have came up to me and said, hey, Jim Carrey's looking for a good comics to be on, I would have been up there like,
right.
The pressure of the moment. People always ask me, like, do you get nervous? And I say, I never get nervous until I know what the stakes are.
Because
I could be in some, you know, little dive bar in the middle of nowhere, but somebody can come up to me and go, hey, you know, Spielberg's filming a movie in the town. They're looking for it. And I would have been like, okay, you know, you just get, that's what it's all about. That's managing that pressure.
Yeah.
That's what being in the business really is.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you get a little, and it's not nervous. I mean, I've been on the radio for a long time, and sometimes if I'm on somebody else's show, I get nervous. When you're waiting to be called up, when you're waiting for your time, do you get that little...
No. I never
really
do. Unless, like I'm saying, you're at a showcase.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
You know, I just did... when I did the James Corden show, like I was standing in the back before the curtain opened, and I had a moment of like, whoa, this is like, well, I'm about to be on TV. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. So you have those kind of moments, but it's not debilitating, you know?
Yeah.
On the show, on I'm Dying Up Here, some of the characters are based on real people that were stand-ups
in the
70s. Yeah,
I would say loosely based.
Yours is
very
not,
loosely.
Though, right?
No, it's not, because I don't think they... I think they had an idea of what they wanted this character to be, and then I think Mike Aguilar, one of the executive producers of the show, he saw me that night, and I think he decided then, oh, I want him to be Ralph. And then they didn't know what they were going to do. Because I know this, because if you see the pilot, I'm there, but I'm not there.
Yeah.
And then once they started to figure it out, and then they started working on it. So what I like about that is there's this arc for my character. There's like this really like nice, you know, you find out who he is. You find out his past. You find out where he's going. You know, you don't like him when he's getting on this kid. And then there's a redemption, you know. So it's like this nice little story arc. But I think they did it by accident, you know. So, and I just
loved your apartment.
Played it the way I played it. Yeah.
You got
right. Oh, I loved it. I would live in it now, you know. It was great.
Did you have to study game films of the comedians of the 70s? Because the style is a little bit different.
I actually wish I would have done it more when I look back on it. But it's hard to imitate stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to capture what actually happens in the club when you have to do 8 takes. The camera moves and you have these extras and they're like, okay, cut. Let's get this angle. It's not a true representation. It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
I thought we did the best possible job we can do. But for me, less stand-up, the better. Like, all the other stuff is what I loved more. Like, you know, the behind the scenes, the struggle, the arguments, the, like, you know, the trying to make it. That's the stuff that it's the essence of the show.
Yeah,
that's what I love about it. There's not much stand-up, really.
And there shouldn't be, because, like I said, it's a difficult thing to do.
Yep, no
really
question
great
about
acting.
It.
I am very proud of you, Eric. It's so nice to know you now.
Oh, tell me more about me.
Eric Griffin is here, comedian and actor. His website is ericgriffin.com. He's on Twitter at Eric Griffin.
With a K. Before, Eric with a K.
Yes. With a K.
E-R-I-K, not E-R-I-C-K, E-R-I-K.
There are different ways to do it.
I'm sorry, my name is one of these names where it's like Eric Griffin, and then they go, is it Griffith? Is it E-N? No, it's G-R-I-F-F-I-N. There you go.
The way God intended. Performing at Zany's November 16th through the 17th. Oh, that's today. That starts today, doesn't it?
Yeah,
8:30 show at Zany's in the city. Friday, you have shows in Rosemont at Zany's. Saturday, also in Rosemont. Zany's.com has all your ticket information.
Yeah.
Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy along with Eric Griffin on WGN.
All right, we are talking with Eric Griffin, E-R-I-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N.
Yeah.
Capital E, Wendy.
Like a Viking.
Oh, sorry. You know, he's going to be at Zany's starting tonight. Zany's in Chicago tonight. Friday, Zany's in Rosemont. Saturday, Zany's in Rosemont. You can go to their website.
Zany's.com.
I wanted to change it to Eric, like spell it like
A-I-R-I
apostrophe Q.
It's Eric LaSalle who spells it E-R-I-Q-U-E.
It's like, get out of here, you pretentious. You know. I want to be like, my name is Eric. You know?
Eric.
Eric.
That's a nice sound. When you decided you were going to be a stand-up, the family reacted how?
My mom hated it, of course.
Did she? Because it's so unstable?
Yeah, it's unstable. It's like, but yeah. I came from an era where you had to be a lawyer, doctor, or businessman.
Yeah.
Remember? Like, you come up from school, there's no, there's no aspirations to be anything other than that.
Right.
Which was wrong with the school system. Because, like, plumbers, locksmiths, mechanics. Yeah. There's people that make great livings. You know, that we just never, you know, they don't do job fairs anymore. Remember when the person would come and be like, you know, I'm a rock, whatever they did. And you would be like, ooh, I want to do that. How do you find out what you want to do? You know, it's just like, you know, sexual stuff. Like, how do you know you like furry things or whatever? You need to see it.
But they don't teach that in the school.
Yeah, that's the internet. They don't teach it in the school. Well, they should have a sex fair. That'd be great.
Sex
at the school.
Fair would be a great
All the kids would love it.
Dominatrix lady comes out. You know what? I think I like this. I think I want to do this. It would be much better to do that. I'm going to start that.
So do you go talk at schools to give kids an option that
No, they don't think comedians, you know, they, you know, plus obviously comedians have some dark past.
That's sad.
You don't want to find out some crap is coming out, you know, come out of their past. So that's a difficult
thing.
But
in the
years
you've been doing this, you've probably found most comics do have some. There's a very dark past. Not all, but many.
Not
of
all,
them.
But there's a reason why we're like have this insecurity and need to like be heard and
attention.
Understood and need the attention. And you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. No one else in your family history had any show business background whatsoever.
Not really. My mom wanted to be a concert pianist, but then like life took a different turn. So I feel like I'm doing that for her right now, being in the entertainment business. My mom didn't want me to do it. She definitely. But then it's so funny now for her to be like, you know, everywhere we go, she's like, this is my son.
Right.
And she'll be like. Like, my mom is the person that will be like, oh, Eric, those people over there recognize you. And then she's like, that's my son. Go talk to them. Go say hi to them. I'm like, Mom, stop. Like, stop it, you know?
She's
I'm not going to go talk to strangers. You know, she just gives my time away. She doesn't care.
Yeah. It's a great feeling, though, when somebody does recognize you. There's nothing better, right? You're walking down a street and somebody knows your work on TV.
That's part of it. Like, you want people to know who you are because that means that people are watching.
Yeah.
And that leads to, like, making money and doing that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's intrusive and whatever. But I'm just famous enough where it's one out of 25 people. Because I can't imagine being someone like Will Smith or Tom Cruise.
Right.
Or you can't even walk anywhere or do anything. You can't be a normal person anymore.
Right.
But I think I love my level of fame where it's like, you know, occasionally somebody's like, you know, like no one stopped outside your window right now, you know. Nobody's looked in and been like, hey, is that the guy from Workaholics? No. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, it's cool. It's just enough people. You know what I mean?
Those are your real sideburns on him dying up here?
No.
I am just suckered into everything.
Yeah, come on. This is the first time the men were in the makeup chair longer than the women.
All the bad 70s dudes.
And it's weird. This is a little tip for you. Sideburns count as makeup, not hair.
Oh, really?
So you got to go to the hair person to put on the wig, and then you got to go to the sideburn, the makeup people to put on the sideburns, and then you got to go back to the hair to get it blended. So it's like a whole, it was a nightmare. Yeah.
Are you getting
a
skin rash from all the polyester you're wearing?
Oh. Thank God we were filming in the winter because, it was hot. But I love all those clothes. I love the clothes. All the
70s clothes are coming back.
Jackets and, all that stuff.
Bell
that
bottoms.
Was great. Yeah. It really helps you, you know, wearing the wig and all that. You're looking at yourself in the mirror, and then, you know, after 45 minutes, you really see a different person. So it really helps, get into that place.
Of all the places you've toured to, of all the places you've done stand-up, is there one that is your favorite? And you don't have to say Chicago. I know you're here now.
No. I mean, why would I say that? It's like 7 days out of the year, Chicago's nice, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's either really hot or really cold.
But just in terms of the audience, there's some cities you find out you just click in some cities more than others for some reason.
Well, I think coastal or metropolitan cities always going to have a nice mix of people. And those are going to be the funnest cities to play in. But, you know, at the same time, you go in middle America and you're going to have coastal cities and metropolitan cities, they don't know what real Trump supporters look like.
Yeah.
they don't know that they even really exist. They don't believe it. But like I've seen it, and it's different out there. So I don't dislike any city I've gone to. I think comedy audiences are the same everywhere.
Right.
It's really like how I'm being treated. Like, what's the hotel like that I'm staying in? Is there a movie theater near the hotel? Do they got room service? Is it walking distance? Mm-hmm. Is there things to do? That's all I care about. I could care less about like the people, the comedy club. All that stuff means nothing, you know?
Right.
But, you know, that's where I'm at.
All right. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? We had a little discussion before you came in. Bill is not a fan of Thanksgiving.
And that's fine.
But then he, you know, you're mean to everybody else who cares about it. Do you care about Thanksgiving or with the cake?
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've had a girlfriend in a long time.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
A new relationship. We've been together 3 or 4 months right now. So this is going to be my first holiday in a relationship in a while. So I'll see how it goes.
So you will be, will you be at her family's?
Probably, yeah, because my mom and stepfather, they moved to Spain last year. So they're in like Malaga, Spain right now, which is a nightmare, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh my God, you get to go to Spain. I go, hey, did you hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
My mother's in Spain.
Not you.
Not me. Like you think that when I go visit my mom, like we're out sightseeing and doing fun stuff. No, I'm sitting on the couch and she's complaining about Trump and she's calling me fat every 5 minutes because she loses her memory. So like she calls me fat. Like my mom's like Dory from Finding Nemo. She has a very short memory, so it's like, oh, you look fat. And then like 10 minutes later, did you gain weight? You
know? Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's not fun visiting my mom. So I am going to probably go to my girlfriend's family.
Is this the first time you're going to meet her family?
I've met some of her family, yeah, because she's Jewish, and they have like 7,500 holidays. Like every other day of the year is a Jewish holiday. Like,
right.
You know, they're having a ham, or not a ham, but, you know.
You better brush up on that.
Yeah, I got to brush up on my Jew. My Jewiness, you know what I mean? So, you know, we're going to go with her, you know, and we're going to meet. I've already met her parents and, like, you know.
But there's a big difference between just meeting parents and meeting all kinds of aunts and uncles and cousins.
Yes, and that's what's probably about to happen. But it's fine. I'm a very personable person. I think being on TV helps me in that situation.
Sure.
So I like she's bringing a unicorn to the to the house, and people are like, ooh,
yeah,
he's on basic cable. Let's go say hi to him.
Here's the other thing to remember: they all have one name to memorize. Your name. You're the new guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to have 30 people whose names are going to be thrown at you really quickly. It's not going to be easy.
It's already a weird dynamic because, like, my girlfriend's a model. You know what I mean? Yeah, I hit the jackpot, you know?
Wow.
Nice. I found a model at the tail end of her modeling career, you know what I mean? So she needs me. You're very beautiful, you know? And so she's already, like the big in her family, everybody's all like, oh, here's Rachel. She's so beautiful, you know? And now I'm coming in as, like, the TV person, you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, wow. You know, she doesn't always like that, my girlfriend. She doesn't like that I get attention.
Yeah.
Right, she wants the attention because that's the reason she became a model.
Yeah, exactly. She can't stand it. I went to this modeling party. Like, she had first of all, a model party's not fun.
No?
Because models are, first of all, they're all tall.
Right.
They're all tall and they're a little bit like, you know, they're very proper. It's not like you think, oh, models, it's going to be just sexy. It's not sexy.
Do they have food at the model parties?
Barely, and there's throw-up buckets. You know, they just...
Oh, God.
They just, you know, model parties are very she.
Sure.
Like, you want to go to like Maxim or like some, like, if you want to see the hoochies, you don't go to a modeling party. But anyway, as soon as we walk in, it took us 3 hours for her to get ready in her costume. She went as Harley Quinn.
Oh.
And I had to draw tattoos on her. And she was very much like, not like that. You know, it's like, I'm not enjoying it. You know what I wore to the model party?
What'd you wear?
This Raiders jacket that I have on.
That's stylish.
I just pretended to be Ice Cube. I said, I'm Ice-T as Ice Cube. But as soon as I walked in the door, a lot of people there were like, oh, hey, I love you on the show. And then she didn't like that. She was like,
no.
Hey.
She wanted the attention.
Go wait in the car.
But to her credit, she says it to me. She says, I go, well, how do you want me to treat my fans? She goes, I love how you treat your fans. I just don't like that I'm not getting attention.
Oh.
So that's what I love about her. She's very honest about her feelings.
Well, good luck with the family.
I'm sure it'll all work out.
But in the answer to your question, it's like, I'm not a huge on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, why? You know, it's like you. Look,
all right, Bill, quit looking at me.
If you're close to your family, you're already close to them. You probably have Friday night dinners anyway.
Right.
So now, usually what Thanksgiving is to, like, bring together people who don't like each other, who've been talking crap about each other all year, and now we get to see each other in person and go, oh, yeah, there's Uncle John. He lost a business because he's got a gambling problem. Oh, there's Aunt Ruth, who we have to pretend that we like.
All right, enough. Thank God we're out of time.
You scared Wendy.
It is a pleasure to meet you. You're awesome. Eric Griffin, Eric with a K, G-R-I-F-F-I-N.
Yes.
Great to meet you. I'm dying up here. Watch it. Season 2 coming back.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Zanies.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We started the show today talking about Thanksgiving, but basically we were just having an argument. Like,
yeah,
who's right, who's wrong.
A lot of yelling. You threw something at me. You threw a book at me.
I did not. But now, like, the real deal, whether you want to talk about it or not, Bill, it's definitely happening. I guess what you were focused on is you hate when people focus on the menu.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah.
All right.
There's more to it.
We have our good friend Akila Easter in the studio. She's a lifestyle expert, etiquette coach. Welcome back, Akila.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
How are you? Nice to see you again.
Excited. And you know this holiday season, so I'm getting real excited.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that during the holiday season, probably etiquette comes more into play than any other time of the year, wouldn't you think?
That's when you're anticipating the worst etiquette, probably.
Yeah.
You have all those, you know, all of your different relatives and you know who's going to do what. So
yes.
You're trying to anticipate that. Yeah.
Yep.
You have to get mentally ready for the holidays.
Tell Akila about the sign you saw at your party because I'm doing this.
All right. So not last weekend, but the weekend prior. I was at a party that said there was a sign up when you entered the party that said no political discussion, the word politics, and then a Ghostbuster sign was put in there.
Okay.
And at first I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. We're adults. If we want to discuss politics, we can. But the mere fact that everybody had very differing opinions probably played out better that we didn't talk about politics, right?
You may not like people when you leave that day. I mean, especially with the political realm that we're in right now.
Yes.
You could polarize people. And especially if it's like your first time at this place, people are going to form opinions about you. And that's just human nature. And that's I do talk about don't speak on sex, money, and politics.
Maybe religion too, maybe.
Religion, yes. Religion as well. Because religion is just as strong as politics nowadays.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own personal opinion. But I think the dialogue needs to be, this is how I feel. I'm not trying to offend you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can have open discussions like that, of course, you know, the
you
world
can't.
Would be a better place.
But
you can't.
Right.
So I kind of like the idea of your sign, which I might want to put
that.
In my wreath. As you're walking in the front door.
Add all of those. Add religion. Add all those different things and see what people say.
But what happens if somebody still says, so I was watching, you know.
Can I answer that?
Yes.
Because somebody at the party did start to talk about it and they were, one of the girls whose party it was, took him by the wrist to the sign and pointed at the sign and the discussion ended.
In case you didn't see this.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I curve the conversation. I would, you know, make it a very short, brief response and say, you guys remember we weren't going to discuss politics. So let's talk about what we're going to be thankful for the holiday season.
Right.
Yeah. Then they can't say anything. They can feel bad.
Right.
Are there some things we shouldn't do aside from talking politics? Are there some things I really want my kids to have good manners and thank God they do at Thanksgiving? Because typically we don't eat in the dining room and don't have all the tables set beautifully.
Right.
When they're in that situation, thank God they know to put their napkin on their lap, which is good in front of grandma and papa.
Don't chew with your mouth open.
Yeah.
One of my pet peeves, I see people licking their fingers. Like if it's like, ooh, it's good. I'm like, oh my gosh, don't touch my hand. Don't shake my hand. You know, those
what about licking your plate? Is that bad?
Come on, Wendy. You're hurting my feelings.
What about licking other people's fingers? You don't want to do that, do you? No.
One thing, if you're showing up to somebody's house, don't show up empty handed.
Yeah.
I know the traditions probably bring wine, flowers even. But even if you bring flowers, make it easy for the host or hostess and have a vase available. Don't make them have to search on how they're going to put it in water. Have everything prepared for them. You want to make it easy for them.
All right. Let's say you're invited to some sort of a get together and they say, be here at 3:00. What time do you really want to show up?
2:45.
You say early?
I sit in the parking lot. I'll sit outside and then I'll probably walk in at like 3:05. I'm just weird like that though. But you probably don't want to show up too early because they're still getting their house together.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times we've had something at the house and we say it starts at 7 and people come in at 6:15 or 6:30.
I wouldn't let them in.
Well, it depends on how far, like sometimes when people live far away, they leave out early, but no.
Yeah. Then stop
I wouldn't
at a
walk
place
to,
for a drink somewhere
yeah,
and kill
to accommodate.
Some time.
Or drink in the car, you know.
A parked car.
Yes.
In the
back
seat.
Sorry. My bad. Yeah. But you don't want to show up at the house before the time of the event.
I think it's just as bad, if not worse, to come a little bit early than it is to come a little bit late.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's
going to
filter
definitely
in late. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And some people have social anxiety where they like to show up late to where they're not the first people there.
Right.
Right. And weird right conversation like, do you need help? Or
well, somebody
I
said this. Speaking of that, you never want to be the first to arrive and you never want to be
the last to leave.
Right?
That's what my mom always told me.
It's true.
But she
isn't
said
it
with nightclubs. She said, you never want to be there when the lights are coming on.
Right. Right, because then you see what people really look like.
Yes.
You guys, I have to share this text that we just got from a listener. And
okay.
Akilah Easter, lifestyle expert and etiquette coach, you are the one to field this because this is
a doozy.
You ready?
Okay.
I'm not even giving the area code just because I don't want to reveal anything.
We won't trace this one.
But if someone's listening, I don't want to do it. It says, my sister-in-law called me Tuesday and said she does not want my family at her dinner, but we are welcome for dessert.
Oh.
What?
So what do we do?
Wow.
Do we show up?
No, you don't show up.
I wouldn't go to that.
I wouldn't go.
That's not a welcome. That's not, you're not welcome. That's not a welcome.
No.
So I would not go. And I'm real petty. I would have an event where I said, hey, you can come over for dessert, but you can't come over.
Now, I'll try to defend the people who wrote that. Maybe they're in a situation where they're fixed for the amount of space that they have for a sit down meal.
No,
maybe.
I'm not an afterthought.
No.
Maybe have another dinner. Maybe when we have all the leftovers, maybe have family come over a family day if you're not going to have the official Thanksgiving in. Bites.
But there are ways around it because I bought a new dining room table and it doesn't hold 12 like my old one did.
Okay.
And so I went and asked ahead of time. I said to my husband, find out who in your family's coming.
Right.
And I'm just going to have a card table
that
is next to
it. It's like the kids' table we used to have, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to accommodate it. I do understand that. And you give them the option. Like my sister-in-law, Sheila, I said, are you going to be eating at your in-laws? Are you coming for dessert or are you coming for the whole meal?
Right.
I gave her the chance. She goes, we're coming for the whole meal.
So what if you show up a little early and you see everybody that's there? You're like, oh, I'll just wait out here in the living
right
room for dessert.
Yeah.
I don't think that's awkward.
That's terrible.
No, I don't like a half invite. That's what it sounds like to me.
Text us your sister-in-law's number and we'll call her and tell
we'll
her she's
it
mean.
And
yes
ask her what her justification was. Yeah.
Akilah Easter is here, lifestyle expert, etiquette coach. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach us very easily at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I didn't write it, you know.
I've got a scruple. I've got one scruple left, and I want to lose it before the end of the year, Wendy. Akilah Easter is here. She's a lifestyle expert. She's an etiquette coach. She's here to help you. The holiday is a very difficult time for a lot of people, manners-wise, but she's here to help. Akilah, give out your website so people can find you there.
Sure. It's Akilah CT. It's my name, A-K-I-L-A-H, S as in Sam, I-T-I.com.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
All right. We asked about a sister-in-law who just invited the family for dessert, not for dinner.
Okay.
We said don't go, and she said thanks for confirming our thoughts.
Right.
And then someone else, a different person, says, I didn't invite everyone for dinner. I don't see any reason why you can't just have some people for dinner and then some people for dessert.
I would do separate days if you're inviting different people. Like I said, what about the overlap? So you're saying at 6 p.m., everybody else get out? Or is it still,
no, they would
probably you have
still
enough
stay
space?
I'm
right
guessing they would
so
still
you have
stay
enough space for everybody?
But hopefully, like if you say, like an extended family, if you say you guys all have somewhere to eat dinner, right?
Right.
If you do, then why don't you stop by for some coffee and dessert? We'll be here all night.
Okay.
That's not wrong.
No, yeah, that's a nightcap kind of,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
maybe
yeah
like a nightcap, there's probably a couple hours in between dinner.
But you don't say, I'm not having you for
right
dinner.
Do not show up around
right
3
dinner
to
is
5.
At 6. You will not be involved
right
in that. However, right.
But it's okay
right
to say, you know,
it's your prerogative.
You have somewhere
you
to eat, right?
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're not saying, hey, you're not invited
right
to this part of the day.
Now, since you brought up the kids' table, maybe it's just me, but I always thought that the kids' table was better than the big table. There's the conversation is livelier and
yeah
more fun.
And there are crayons.
And there's crayons.
And you're not restricted.
You can draw pictures
yeah
of scenes if you like.
You can eat with your fingers.
If you want
right
to.
So
yeah
all of those different
I'd
things.
I'd rather be at the kids'
the
table.
The kids' table's much cooler,
yep
right?
Yeah, I agree. That was always more fun. Jerry has called us, 312-981-7200. Jerry, we're talking to Akilah Easter, and we were talking about people arriving early. You have an idea?
Yeah, I don't have a question, but what I would always do, if somebody shows up early, and I'm not ready, you know, if they're a half hour early or whatever, I would put them to work.
Put them to work, Wendy. Hey, Jim, put up some siding. You're
no
here early.
Here's a hammer.
More party related than that. But, you know, there's always stuff to do. And if they walk in and you're busy doing something, instead of them expecting you to stop and entertain them, have them help you out. You know, put out the cheese tray, peel some potatoes.
It's not a bad idea.
Right. And they should volunteer. They should actually volunteer to assist the host rather than just sitting there.
Basically, these are your closest friends and family. You're not inviting strangers.
That's true.
So, and most of them know the run of your kitchen. So
I'm
and
a control
then one
freak.
Last thing here. One last thing here. If you're going to a party, and if it's a big party, and you don't remember every aunt and uncle from either side of the family, what I try and do is get there first. Not early, but first, and then kind of grab somebody who does know everybody, and then sit back, and as they walk in the door, you're basically re-meeting them. You're saying, who's this guy? Instead of walking in to 20 people and you only know 10 of them.
Oh, that's smart.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Then you're stuck calling everybody man and pal and buddy.
Right.
Well, hey, man, pal, buddy, Jerry, have a good Thanksgiving.
Jerry, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Akila, are Thanksgiving and or Christmas considered holidays where you're supposed to bring a hostess gift? If you're attending somebody's house, a hostess gift, and I want to introduce a new idea, the host gift. I think the host should also get a gift, not just the hostess.
Oh, yes, sorry. We are very politically correct.
Yes, yes. But you do want to, if you're visiting somebody for either of those holidays, you should bring something. What is there a price range? What do you think?
Traditionally is wine. I like to bring coffee table books, maybe a book of photography, something to that effect. I avoid bringing food because I don't know people's allergies and I don't know if it goes with the menu. Mm. And then you feel obligated to put it out. You're like, here's that Jell-O mold that you brought. You know, those different types of things. So I avoid bringing any types of food, maybe desserts like cookies and things such as that. But I like coffee or candles are a new thing. Coffee table books, those different types of things. Try to make it a little bit more unique in that you put some effort and you just didn't stop by the store real quick on your way there.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned flowers, and I hate to say that I was rude to my husband one time. He got me flowers. It was for my birthday or Valentine's Day or something. And I said, thank you. That's awesome. And I love them. But then you do have to, like,
I got to go find a
vase and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So if you are getting some arrangement, I heard you mention
bring that prepared.
Yes. Yeah, like sometimes they have it in a vase. Nothing major, but it's just self-contained.
And you could do it. Like if you're just getting fresh cut flowers, you can prepare it at home, right? And that shows that you put effort into it. I mean, sometimes we don't know how to arrange everything, but it's already arranged. You put it in some nice warm water and then you have it presented. You don't want to have somebody, I don't have a vase. Or I'm using all the vases, you know, for the event, you know. So you just want to make it as easy as possible for the host because they're already stressed out.
Right.
What about mint meltaways? I found that to be a good
hostess.
What about
mint meltaways? Yeah. Yes. You like those?
Yes. I like any type of snacks.
And
right?
then you could always say, you know, because it's wrapped up, you can say you could either, you know, no need to serve them tonight, save them for yourself or, or another holiday party.
If somebody gives you a bottle of wine, as you suggested, is that a bottle that you want to open right away or do you put that in reserve for another time?
You can probably bring it for at the end of the meal.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they brought a wine that kind of goes with turkey, if you're having turkey or something to that effect. Like
a stuffing flavored wine?
Yes. You know, there's all sorts of flavors.
Is this celery floating in it?
Yeah, I think there were some potato chips that were Thanksgiving flavored.
Oh,
like, that's
they?
A new thing. Like, they're, I'm like, I don't know what Thanksgiving flavored is, but I imagine turkey and gravy. Yeah. But yes. But yeah, if you want to, they can open up maybe at the end of the dinner.
That seems right. Okay.
Holidays bring out the best in families and the worst in families. I will say that. But family is family. Sometimes we've lost someone very important to us and need to face the holidays. And I am very sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So I lost my father. What's today? I lost my father 2.5 months ago. So this is I had my first birthday already without him. So this will be my first holiday season without him. So if you're with family, everybody knows about the loss. So maybe before you have dinner, you can maybe give a memory of that person
That's
or discuss
a
memory
idea.
About them. And then you can make it fun, right? So you don't want to bring everybody down. Maybe a fun memory of that person. Everybody goes around because we know traditionally we may go around and say what you're thankful for.
Yeah. Yep.
And then this time, because somebody recently passed, give a memory with respect to that. So my father's Stanley Easter.
Yeah. I've been at gatherings where there has been a toast to that person.
Yes.
And then as you suggested, if somebody wants to say something,
right.
that's always a nice
Let's
touch.
Let's do laughter
right?
instead of bringing it down, right?
That's
Perhaps
such a good
do
idea.
That like when you would traditionally do grace or before grace.
Yes.
Because
yes.
then, you know,
You have time to calm down.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. And to bring everybody together.
Or between quarters of the football game sometimes.
Real
nice.
Quick.
If they were a football fan. Yeah.
He was a football
well,
fan.
Well, then that's
so,
the
yes,
appropriate time.
He would love it. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Once the team has beat the spread, right. then you mention.
Now we can give on.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're very sorry about your dad.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But Akilah, thank you for all this help. Very invaluable help for everybody.
Yes. Thank
give
you guys.
The website again for one more time for people who want to find you.
It's at akilahct.com, akilahsiti.com. Thanks so much, you guys.
Perfect.
Thank you.
That's Akilah Easter. We'll take a quick break, some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and It's Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean, who didn't forget us this week.
No, this week he remembered us.
Who
Dean,
is this?
Dean, you remember us. It's Wendy and it's me. It's Bill.
The voice is familiar.
We're your friends. You know
I
us.
I can't place it.
Come on.
Bill, Dean, why do you hate Thanksgiving?
I don't hate Thanksgiving. I know it
you know,
sounds
no
like...
No one's going to let this die, Bill.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it at all. Dean, I need
Were
to...
Were you attacked by a turkey?
No, nothing like that. It. Nothing like that ever happened to me. I don't...
Some sort of giblet trauma?
Two words you rarely hear together, but when you do, you know it's ugly.
I wish I could start a band
right
giblet
now. Giblet trauma. Ladies giblet and gentlemen, trauma. Please welcome to the
please
stage.
Welcome to
giblet
Chicago.
Trauma. Wee. I need to congratulate you. I couldn't be more excited, Dean, because you are going to host a very special episode of Family Classics.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it?
I
it's
love
cool.
this idea.
It
what
is
happened?
Exciting.
You get the book and everything?
I did not think my career could get any better than doing the Victory Auto Records commercial. I thought that that was going to be the first line of my obituary, but now there may be a new one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing a special holiday rendition of Family Classics, the old WGN TV movie series that ran for 38 years with first Frasier Thomas showing us some of the, you know, for many of us, our introduction to some of the greatest films of all time.
Dean, am I imagining it, or did they show Captain's Courageous every week?
It was not every week.
It was not every week?
Might have been once a month.
I stand corrected, okay.
It might have been once a month.
Sometimes it was Men of Boys Town.
I was going to say Boys Town.
Right.
I was completely going to say Boys Town, which I loved because I don't see this that often when I'm channel surfing, but when I do, I always stop and I always cry.
Yeah. It's very sad when Pee-wee gets hit by the car. Spoiler alert.
Well, mine is when Spencer Tracy grabs Mickey Rooney by the shirt.
Yes.
And gets tough love. Father Flanagan, tough love.
Father Flanagan and Whitey Marsh, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, it's
They
sad.
Like Thanksgiving.
Yes, they love Thanksgiving. They love Thanksgiving. So how did this come to be, and why is it only a one-time thing? I would like to – I'd watch you host this every
I
week.
I would, too.
Well, we're going to see how it goes, number one.
Yeah.
But
pressure's on, dude.
We've been wanting – well, all I have to do is stand there and go, here's tonight's movie.
Oh. Oh, now, Dean, refresh my memory, because in my head, and if I'm wrong, please forgive me, but there was a library set, and I don't know if that set still exists.
It does.
Hope it does.
Yeah. It does. We have the original set. We donated it to the Museum of Broadcast Communications many years ago, but we brought it back. We cleaned it up a little bit. You'd think they would do a little dusting over there at the museum.
Yes.
We cleaned it up. And we have Frasier's original set, the library set.
Is the painting there? There was a painting of Garfield Goose that I was always told was done by Roy Brown.
That is correct.
It's true.
That is correct. There is a painting of Garfield Goose dressed in an admiral suit.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
Uniform. And it
from an after-hours party at WGN many years
that's
ago.
Right. A lot of people don't remember Garfield Goose was in The Village People.
Right. It used to be very fashionable to say around WGN, I've been Garfield Goose, and everybody would just know what you meant.
It was perfectly acceptable
back then
at one
was.
Time here.
Yep.
Roy Brown was the puppeteer before he became Cookie on The Bozo Show. Roy Brown was the artist and puppeteer for the Garfield Goose Show.
Wow.
So he was the one manipulating all the puppets, talking to Garfield on that show. and did all the artwork that you saw for the opening and closing credits, and any really a lot of artwork that was ever used. And then when he became Cookie, his role as the artist was diminished.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that. We have all of that. Oh. We have the chair.
Oh.
The big chair that Frazier. I don't think I ever saw him actually sit in the chair. He always stood behind it while he took a book from the shelf and explained what movie we were going to see tonight. And then at the end of the show, he puts the book back into into the cabinet. The bookshelf. And
Dean, will you say these words? And now, if you're quite ready, let us begin. Will you say that?
I say those words verbatim.
Oh,
this is really an honor for you to get this. This is really cool. We're proud.
Geeky. It's a little geeky.
Well, it was down.
We all have that in us.
It was down to you and Billy Deck, and I'm so glad they gave it to you.
They would have put a little baseball cap on Garfield Goose on the painting.
I'm so glad that I didn't wear the hat now in the audition.
Oh, my God.
All right, so when can people see this? Because I can't wait.
This is going to be on December the 8th. The first run is going to be December the 8th from 7 to 9 p.m. on WGN Television, Chicago's very own Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be repeated on Christmas Eve, immediately following Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics, our two-hour documentary we did several years ago. So
fantastic.
So that'll be, I think that's 3 to 5. I think Bozo, Gar, and Ray, I don't remember the times of.
We'll figure it out. We'll announce
all it. Dean all the time.
For the Christmas Eve show. But yeah, it's pretty much going to be. You're going to get second and third helpings of Dean for Christmas this year.
And did you say what movie is being shown on that particular episode or not?
I did not, but I can tell you that
it is
the quintessential version of A Christmas Carol, the 1951 version that Alistair Sim.
Oh, it's so good.
Whose title, the actual title, is Scrooge.
Oh, really?
And then when it was released in the U.S., it was released as A Christmas Carol. But when you see the movie, the title says Scrooge on it, and it's a really nice, clean version of the movie.
No swearing.
It's one of the best movies for the holidays, and we're going to run it in its entirety. I will drop into the movie a couple of times, 2-3 times, to talk about the movie, the history of the movie, as Frazier and Roy Leonard used to do.
Yeah.
And I will drop in to talk about and pay tribute to Frazier and Roy and the history of family classics. And, so it should...
so exciting.
It should be a lot of fun. Whether or not we wind up doing this on a regular basis or not will depend on how this goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody just texted, see how it goes. Dean, what could go wrong? You show the wrong movie? That could go wrong.
What could go wrong is nobody's interested in watching it.
Oops, this is Song of Bernadette. What did we do?
Wait a minute.
I'm so sorry.
Lassie.
Malibu's Most Wanted. What? Actually, that's, so whether or not people, actually tune in, maybe they just have really fond memories of this, but are not interested at all in watching the movie. We have to have, we have to have an audience or we can't continue to do it.
Audience, schmaudience.
But the other thing of this is the way that movie rights are handled now are completely different than when Frazier and Roy picked the movies and personally edited them themselves.
Yeah.
These days, the really great movies have gone to the cable channels.
Yeah, right.
TMC and American Movie Classics and some of the other big movie channels.
But Dean,
have rights
guys...
to some of the big movies that Frazier and Roy used to show on Family Classics. So we simply, we don't have rights to a lot of the movies that we would like.
But I always thought that those guys kind of, if not lifted the idea, borrowed a little bit from what was being done on Family Classics, the way they'd show a movie and they'd come in and out with little fun facts.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. I think Robert Osborne should be sending a nice fruit basket to Frazier and Roy's families for his career. Because it's what he does is essentially Family Classics and what was done
on. And Clooney's dad, too. Nick Clooney does the same thing.
That's right. George Clooney out of either would kill him and send a case of tequila over
to do that.
Something to say thank you.
Cheapo. Yep. All right, Dean Richards. Oh, listen to this. Listen to this.
Oh. It's going to make me cry.
Oh. Wah, na, na.
beautiful.
And then I step out from behind the chair only to reveal that I'm not wearing any pants.
Oh, God, that could go wrong.
That's what's going to go wrong. All right, a quick break and then
wait a minute.
Gene Richards. Stick
well,
around.
On TV.
On TV, anyway. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I know
Dean
this-
Richards is our guest. He's going to host Family Classics, and now we hear Creature Features too, Dean. How about that?
Fantastic. Rich Coe's, look out, I'm coming after you.
Are you going to ever host the prize movie with Ione?
What is that? All right, Dean loves it. I'm missing this.
This was a movie that Channel 7 showed in the middle of the afternoon.
Yep.
And there was a woman, if I'm remembering correctly, looked and sounded like Joanne Worley.
Yes, she did.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would pop in during the movie, and she would make phone calls to people.
Yeah.
And it was like a quiz show.
Right. If you knew what movie Ione was showing, you'd win like $12 or something. It was very exciting.
Right.
How about Lilius Yoga and You? Will you be hosting
that? I remember that. The prize movie with Ione.
Yeah.
Ione Citrin?
Yeah.
Before Oprah, before Phil, before Jenny, there was Ione.
Right. And, oh, wait, I just got a text asking if the three of us can bring back Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Yes. I'm in. I'm so in.
I don't know which is which.
No,
but
it doesn't matter.
I would like to be Fran this time if possible.
You know I got dibs on Kukla, so Wendy, the rest is up to you. Dean, Justice League is finally opening. They've been making this movie for 40 years, and it's finally happening. What do we know?
It finally happened, and it's getting mixed reviews in the press, which I think is unfortunate because I really liked it.
Mm.
It's the DC Comics version of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
It is Batman. It's Wonder Woman. It's Aquaman. Mm-hmm. It's The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg. And I guess it's not too much of a spoiler alert to tell you that Superman is also in this movie.
Right.
In what capacity, I won't say right now, because he died, as you may remember, in the last movie, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Superman didn't make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the world is mourning the death of, in this movie, in Justice League, the world is mourning the death of the Man of Steel, and what are we going to do without him, and you know, criminals and forces from around the universe now see an opportunity to take advantage of their wrongdoings with the Man of Steel out of the way. So these other crime fighters, world savers, you know, want to step up, and they realize that they cannot fight the bad guy mm-hmm. of this movie, who is called Steppenwolf, which to me is a very fine theater company.
Yes, it is.
I don't know why they chose to persecute this theater company.
Well, they fought Northlight in the last movie. Remember that?
They
that
did.
That was excellent.
They were victorious over Looking Glass and Remy Bumpo.
I don't know what you guys are talking about today, but I hope you're enjoying yourselves.
This is like secret entertainment language here, yeah. Here today.
You're like twins where they have their own language.
Yeah.
We are two silly boys today. But that is the name of the villain in this movie. So the Batman and Wonder Woman team up and decide to recruit these other people who have special powers and abilities so they can fight off this evil figure who wants to destroy Earth. And the Man of Steel is involved in the plot. I'll just say that much. And I liked it. It is very action-filled. I think it's very characteristic of the DC Comics, of which I was a huge fan. I almost exclusively read DC Comics when I was a kid, not so much the Marvel Comics. Huge Superman and Batman especially, but I like the DC universe personally myself, and I think it's very characteristic of kind of the tone of DC Comics, which is a little bit more serious,
mm-hmm.
but they have lightened it up a little bit. I think they very clearly have responded to the success of the Marvel individual superheroes and the Avengers, which, you know, if we take this last Thor movie, it's pretty much a straightaway comedy.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all comedy now. And I sort of liked that they didn't go that far with the Justice League. There is a lighter tone to it. There's a very definite sense of humor to it, which I think fits just well. This movie is taking a beating online for people who just want, I think people who just want to complain, who are nitpicking this movie to death. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every single minute of it. I thought the performances were good. Special effects were just fine. And a few other little character surprises in this movie that you're going to want to check out. If you go to, I saw it on an IMAX screen, and I think it is worth seeing it on as big a screen as possible. It was pretty impressive looking. But also, I just want to tell everybody who's going to go see it, not only, you know, when the credits start, stay, because there's a little scene that they throw in the middle of the credits, and then another scene that they throw in at the end of the credits.
A bonus scene.
Bonus scene at the end. So don't run out of the theater and don't run out thinking, well, there's my bonus scene, now I can leave, because there's one at the very, very, very end of all the credits as well. Dean's List B+ on this one.
Excellent. Dean, we're so close to being out of time, but really quick, everyone I know says Wonder looks like one of
it
the most incredible.
Awesome. Wendy's.
So charming. Yeah, so charming, so emotional, so touching. It is a tearjerker. It's Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson as the parents of a young boy who has facial differences, like craniofacial diseases. He's born... And his face is not shaped the way most of our faces are shaped. And while he and his family have, you know, deal with it quite well, it's now time for this young boy to go to public school. And he has to deal with possible bullies and barbs and, you know, whatever torture that he's going to take from people because he looks different from everyone else. So it's that story of dealing with all of that, and it's done with taste and eloquence and humor and little Jacob Tremblay, who was the little boy in the movie The Room.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. He is the little boy in this movie, and he is quite good. I really like this movie, and I gave it a Dean's List B. There's also a movie that's called The Star that's opening this weekend, an animated version of The Nativity told from the animal's point of view.
Oh.
Think you know your nativity until you see some horses and camels talking to each other. I gave this one, it's very nice. It's a Dean's List C+.
That's Dean Richards. He has a special coming on, Dusty's Treehouse. You can see him hosting that. It's going to be fun.
Dean... Come on, Gumby. Let's go.
Dean, thanks so much. Have a great
thanks,
weekend.
You too, guys. Bye.
All right, quick break, then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we are talking with Steve Bertrand off the air. Let's try and do it on the air.
Nah. Great music from Chicago.
Mike Rapchak.
Mike Rapchak,
yeah,
that's
I know
right.
That voice.
So it's because of Mike Rapchak that we chose our wedding song, Girl Talk.
Is that true?
It is true. Huh. Okay, so Ian Scher is going to be on the Business Lunch a little bit later, and there's a new pill. I don't think it's finally been approved, it reached final approval, but it's a digital pill that allows you to track whether or not you've taken your medication. And it's being used for a psychotic drug, so someone who needs to take their meds.
Right.
And the idea is that you can share with doctors or family members whether or not the pill that day has actually been ingested.
Oh.
It's
that's
an ingestible...
like a GPS thing for your
medicine.
Yeah,
it is. So that's one of the things we'll talk to him about. Also, a big movement to put your phones down and all that stuff. But that's a pretty remarkable thing, you know, because it's like, well, is someone taking his meds or her meds?
Right. They can lie and
say,
yes, I am.
And here's a way to verify it. So.